I have something really special for you today. You're going to be glad you came today. You know, in the past weeks, we've been talking about the kingdom of God and how to access it and the keys, remember? And in some of the sermons I talked to you about that we need to know how he's leading us in this moment, okay? How is God leading us in this moment? And we ended up talking about how God is leading us, but I don't know how far we ventured into this moment. So we're going to do that today. And as we've come down the trail, now let's just, y'all walk with me today, okay? You're going to have to stay with me because I'm going to do some layers here. But one of the things that we discussed here recently was dealing with the hard heart. And then you noticed Danny just picked that right up. Plowing up that ground. Being ready to receive word. Being ready to receive what God has for you. And that's so important. And so we've been working on that heart. We've been working on our believing, because you have to believe to be able to enter into the promised land. Amen? They had to believe. A lot of them didn't believe. Or they believed that it was good, but they didn't believe they could have it. But you can. So I'm going to go to Leviticus 25:18, and you can come there with me. And then I'm going to read Deuteronomy 15:1. The title of the message is Threshold of Grace. So I think you're going to be pleased with where the Lord is leading us. This is a little bit different for us, but this is, well, not really. It really isn't, but it'll be fresh. Leviticus 25:18. Obey my laws and carefully follow my rules. Then you will live securely in the land. The land will give you its products, and you will eat all that you want and live securely. You may ask, what will we eat in the seventh year if we do not plant or bring in our crops? I will give you my blessing in the sixth year so that the land will produce enough for 3 years. You will plant again in the eighth year, but live on what the land already produced. Y'all following me? You will eat in the seventh year if you do not plant or have any crops. I'll give you my blessing in the sixth year so that the land will produce enough for 3 years. You will plant again in the eighth year, but live on what the land has already produced. You will eat it even in the ninth month until the land produces more. Now, this is talking about, these are the instructions that are being given for resting in the seventh year. How many of you have ever heard, and they don't do it today in America, but letting the ground rest on the seventh year? It's a Sabbath for the ground. So many of you are aware of that. Deuteronomy 15:1 says, "And the end of every seventh, at the end of every 7 years, you must cancel debts." Now that's a good one. This is what you will do. If you've made a loan, don't collect payment on the debt your neighbor still owes you. Don't demand that your neighbor or relative pay you, because the time for suspending payments on debts has been proclaimed in the Lord's honor. So we know that also happens. Now, remember the Jubilee and all the debts are canceled on the 50th year? You remember that? Okay. Now, so what we're talking about here is a year called the Shemitah year. The Jews celebrate a Shemitah year. And both of these things that I just mentioned happen in that time frame. Now listen to this one. This is Deuteronomy 15:6. You can just listen. The Lord your God will bless you as he promised. You will make loans to many nations, but you will not have to borrow from any of them. You will rule many nations, but no nation will ever rule you. And here's verse 12. Whenever Hebrew men or women are sold to you as slaves, then they will be your slaves for 6 years, but in the seventh year, you must let them go free. Okay? Got that? Let me get situated here. But when you let them go, don't send them away empty-handed. Generously give them provisions, sheep from your flocks, grain from threshing floor, wine from your wine press. Be generous to them as the Lord your God has been to you. I guess that's like severance, right? Okay. Okay, verse 15. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God freed you, and that's why I'm giving you this command today. So what happened when they were freed from Egypt? Do you remember they knocked the doors of the Egyptians, and they gave them the loot, They gave them stuff to travel away with. Okay, so you see where we're going with this. Now, this is what I want you to take away from this today, church. It is time for the land to rest. Provision will be made during the rest. Debts are canceled. People go free. And I'm not talking about the government here. We're talking about spiritually things happening, okay? I'm not talking about the government paying off everybody's stuff, okay? Just stay with me. So a Shemitah year is a good year, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Rosh Hashanah was on September the 7th. Everybody knows that? Okay. All right. Now, September is the ninth month of the Gregorian calendar, which is what we use in America, right?
Right.
All right. The Jewish people use a Hebrew calendar, and so it's their first month. So Rosh Hashanah means first of the year, okay? So it's their Happy New Year. So on September the 7th, and it lasts for 2 days with them, they had a Happy New Year, okay? You following me? Now, it's interesting to note that when you put those two things together, you have an end and a beginning. Because the number nine, this is the ninth month, the number nine in Bible talk is the end of something. Jesus died on the ninth hour. It was finished. Okay? And so his earthly life and his mission to redeem mankind was finished then, and salvation, grace, was open to all. With me?
Yes.
Okay. Stay with me. So another thing that we see is in John 17, verse 21, just before Jesus goes to the cross, he prays this prayer, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So he prayed that we would be one with them, with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, okay? He prayed that we would be one. We'd be in constant union and continual union, and okay, that we would be one. We would be abiding in him. Now, interesting enough, the number one is symbolic of God, and because there's one God of heaven and earth, amen? That's it. Now, also, number one means new beginning, or this is what I want to submit to you, threshold. It's the threshold. All right. So it's the threshold from one season or one year to another. So we have just stepped over the threshold into a new year, into a Shemitah year. It just started. It wasn't last year. It just started. This is a Shemitah year according to the calendar. Still with me?
Yes.
Okay, you're going to like it when we get there. So this is the Hebrew year 5782. And this is the seventh year as they flow out. In Deuteronomy 15, we learn that the Sabbath years, that debts are canceled and people go free. Okay. Now, as a people, church, the body of Christ right now has been crying out in faith. Some people are whining and crying, but other people are just crying out in faith that all of the debts are forgiven, all of the sins are forgiven, because so many people in the earth have moved away from God. You see where I'm going? A lot of people moved away from God, and now there's a lot of yuck on this earth right now. It's not just America, church. There's a lot going on all over the world. And so there have been prayers and prayers of faith and crying out to God to relieve us from this debt, if you will. You see what I'm saying? But there is a remnant. There is a remnant of people throughout the earth that have stood in the gap. They have humbled themselves and they are praying. And that is you. You are part of that remnant. We're daily praying for America. We're daily praying for this world. We're daily praying for a change. Now, the Word of God says that the debt makes you, that debt makes you a slave. Would y'all concur?
Yeah.
Debt, because you, if you owe money to someone, that you're in debt to them, that you're a slave to that until it's paid off. Okay, so, but on Sabbaths, the debts are paid. The slavery is canceled. Well, praise the Lord. You got to get this on a spiritual level, right? Now, I believe right now that we are crossing the threshold spiritually. Listen, there's great opposition whenever God's people are about to go into an inheritance or, in a, or into the promises. There's great resistance. The devil hates that. But he knows what's going on. Now, remember that we are the bride of Christ, are we? If you know anything about the scripture, you know we're the bride of Christ. We don't have time to go teach that, but you know we are. But it looks like the bride can't enter her bridal suite because there's so many enemies standing in the way. Isn't that how you've had to fight the good fight these days? Because you know you're free, you know you're blessed, you know you live in the realm of where things that are impossible can be possible. You know about the supernatural, but it's almost like it's just been a push. I mean, we've seen all sorts of things happen around us that we haven't liked, and it's just like the devil has stood in the way of our promises. Feels like that. Now, we're winning. We still have the promises, but it just feels like that. It just looks like that the devil's just standing right in front of that threshold of the bridal suite. But church, if you will look up, if you will look up spiritually, I mean, you're going to see a tall, handsome groom. And his name is Jesus. And he is absolutely towering over the enemy. What happens at the bridal suite threshold? The groom picks up the bride and carries her over. She doesn't walk over there herself. The groom picks her up. She's carried. And I just want to submit to you that we are going to be lifted up above the opposition and carried into the next season. We're going to be carried by grace, church, face to face in intimacy into the fullness of being one with Him. That's what this awakening is we're coming into an intimacy with Father God, with the glory of God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And we have to understand, church, that the enemy fears oneness. Jesus prayed that for us. So he knew we needed that prayer. You know, bridal intimacy represents spiritual oneness. You know, when the two become one flesh, we're brought into oneness with Christ. Jesus intercedes for our oneness in the body of Christ to be established. It's all about becoming one with God. And I just believe that we're standing in a threshold moment right now. A time where we're going to be carried in the arms of intimate grace. You can't just cross this threshold on your own. This is not meant to be. This is a place where Almighty God is ready to bring you over. See, this is a time when you surrender your strength. This is a time when you surrender your might and your power. This is a time where you be still and know that He is God. That's the season we're entering into. It's by the Spirit that victories will be won and the glory will be revealed. And when you need answers, they're going to come, and they're going to come by the Spirit. They're not going to be because you had to fight for it out of your flesh. Lord knows we've wanted to lately. But God has got us and he has the ultimate plan. And you can come into this season if you will. Now, let me stop right here in case somebody needs us a little explanation on this. We go along in life serving God, doing what we do and what we call chronos, sequential time. But in the Bible, there are moeds, kairos. In Hebrew, it's moeds. It's a set time. It's a set time. And Sabbaths are set times. And so if you go back and read history, I was doing this weekend. If you go back and read, you can see all sorts of things that happened literally, naturally in a Shemitah year. It's very, very interesting. This is a real time to look at God and to pay attention because many things happen in these particular years. You know, some people never notice, but because they're just, you know, carnally minded. But when you start looking at God and watching these things, and you go back and see what's been historically written about America by the whole earth, you'll see some things that have gone on. Now, some of the Jewish people say it only happens to Israel, but I don't believe that's the truth. I believe this belongs to all of us. Ours is just on a different level. Ours would be the supernatural level. Theirs is the natural level. However, I think we're going to see our natural change because of this supernatural. Amen. So, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to go too fast with you on this. Are y'all with me? You get what I'm telling you? So that we've entered this year. This is the Hebrew year 5782. And in less than 3 months, we'll go into 2022. Okay? Now, the 22nd letter of the alphabet is Tav. And every Hebrew letter has a number with it, okay? They all have a numeric value, I'll say. They have a numeric value. You all know that, okay? Now, Tav is 400. This is not going to be technical when we get to the end of this. You can put it all together really easy. The number for Tav is 400. Now, 400 is a significant threshold number as well. Because what do you know? After 400 years, they came out of Egypt. There's 400 years between the Old Testament and the birth of Jesus. It's a threshold time. 400 years is a threshold. So here we have 22 representing 400, which would then be a threshold once again. Are you seeing that we're at a threshold? So now, it's just interesting to me to see how the Sabbath aligns with the 400. And once again, the slaves go free. The debts are paid. All the good things happened. There's rest in the land. Additionally, Tav symbolizes two things. Now, make sure you hear everything I'm about to say. Because Tav means to mark, or truth. We are in a time of being marked. This is not a demonic mark, the mark of the beast. Let me just say that. This is a setting apart marking. And this is what the Spirit of God's saying. This one's mine.
Yeah. Yes.
This is mine.
Yes.
You want to mess with this kid? This is my kid. That's the feeling behind it because we're covenant people. So just as the children of Israel, they're living as captives in Egypt. What did they do? They put the blood of the lamb, they marked their houses. And that said, we're these people.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes. Okay.
We're these people.
Yeah.
They're marked now.
Yeah.
So that when the death angel came by, he just looked at the mark on the house and kept going. But if there wasn't a mark on the house, he didn't keep going. But we're marked. You're marked with the blood of Jesus right now. You need to be aware of that. The blood of Jesus canceled your sin. Every sin you've ever done has been canceled. Every sin that you're going to do has been canceled. Understand, church. I'm going to have to take a little side trail here. But you have to understand the point of why preachers are always preaching about being good and being holy and stuff like that. It has nothing to do with you earning anything from God. You're already in the family. The reason why we do what's right, do it right because it's right, is because there's an enemy out there and he's very legalistic. And number two, because we don't want to hurt other people. Those are the two reasons why we do good and don't just do whatever we want to. It's not because we're trying to save ourselves. Jesus saved you already. Amen. Okay, back to the trail here. We took a little detour there. Now, so we're in the days we're marked. This one is mine. Jesus identifies you as his child, the Father's child. You're identified. He said, there's Kevin. There he is. He's ours. Yeah. Amen. This is real, church. So we've been marked with truth, and we've already been set free. Now, I just believe that this is going to be a year, and that's why I believe Holy Spirit had me pray over you a fresh anointing to win people to Jesus. Because I believe that many people are going to receive the salvation message and come and be marked with us. That they're going to receive it through the blood of Jesus. But I also believe that those of us that are already saved by grace are going to enter into a greater surrendering, a surrendering of our own personal strength, and a submitting to his strength, to his power. Now can you see why the Lord wanted to lay hands on you for that? So it's not just you coming up with it. It's God giving you an assignment. And by his power, you're going to win people to Jesus this week. You just watch. We'll have a big report next Sunday. Now, then church, see, then we're marked by his power and his authority. It wasn't, you know, we're just good little Christian soldiers and we're going to get a mark on our belt. So we're going to see how many we win and see who wins the prize at church. That's not what we do. This is just life, that we want people to come in to the kingdom of God. And this is the time for them to come in and to come in and be marked for God so they won't take any other mark in the future. I'll just go ahead and say that just for fun, so you can get a hold of that maybe. Praise the Lord. All right, now, Jesus is able. Now listen, we've seen this. Many of you have been here for years, and we've gone through some years where there were some tyrants, not like now, not like there are now in America, but same people involved here, okay? But we all did well. Anyway, and even through the plague and what's been going on, everyone got healed here. Everyone's done well. Everyone's prospered. The church during the 2020, the church prospered and paid this building off. Praise God. In the middle of the plague. So we know that even when things are bad, things can be good for us. When we continue, I'll give you some more on that. The delineation between those marked by the blood and those who demand law and works will become clearer and clearer. The delineation between those of us who are actually living in the rest and living with God and those who are just kind of flowing with whatever and trying to make it the best they can, the delineation is coming. What we want to see is the Church of the Living God wake up and come in to everything that is right. There's a higher law than just the law, church, and we have to know it. I'm not calling you to be rebellious, but I am calling you to know that God Almighty has a higher law than some of the things that are trying to be placed on people. And the Constitution of our United States does as well. Anyway, praise the Lord. So Jesus said this, "Come to me, all ye," this is Matthew 11:28. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Well, that's good. "Take my yoke upon you and learn it from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, I've just found that to be true in my life, that if I don't get all weighted down with what's going on out there and all the junk that goes on, that I live pretty good just believing God for whatever I need, and He does it. Blessings are going to be poured out on the believer's home, the houses of worship, and the prayer meetings in this coming year. The blessings belong to us. And they're going to happen to us this year. The manifest blessing of Psalm 91 will be made known to all of those who make the Lord their refuge. He is my refuge. He is my strength. I'm living in Him. I'm not living out on my own going, "Why, God, why is all this happening?" We know why it's happening. There's an enemy. And we've been in biological warfare, not to mention other regimes that, you know. But God. So we're going to live in this Psalm 91. And listen, in Psalm 91, according to the scripture, "And God is true, plagues will pass us by." That's what it says. So stay in it. Eat it. Danny gave you a good word about how big you're going to plow up your field. Get on that thing. We got a disc on our tractor, and it sure is a lot easier than getting out there with a little tiller. And you just, the neighbor borrowed it yesterday, and I drove it down there, and it had the disc on it. And he went, "Oh, well, while I have it, I think I'll plow up the garden too." I'm like, go ahead. But you can get a whole lot more done if you'll go ahead and plow up a big space.
Yep.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to live in this Psalm 91. And we've been talking about plowing up the ground of our hearts. And this is what I say right here to you. I'm saying this to you right now. Let the first 3 months of this Jewish year set your course for the 9 months following, as you begin to rest in His strength, rest in His power, and rest in grace. You can rest. The Lord's going to renew the soil of your life, causing it to be full of health for the planting that is coming. We can enter the rest by believing. Now, I want to call something to your attention, those of you who've been here for a while, and those of you that participated in the Aliyah offering. Can you see how you sowed in the sixth year to take care of you through the seventh year? Yeah, buddies. If you don't think God, I got killed. But you know, you don't think our God will set us up? He set us up. We have a harvest in the seventh year, like nobody's business. It's gonna make us through. You will have more prosperity than you would have in any other year, and so on, health, everything. So what I'm going to say to you is this: Shana Tova. Good year. Good year. Shana Tova. Praise the Lord. We're going to have a good year.
Yes,
We're going to have a good year. So go ahead and get in the year. Well, I just don't see how it can be a good year with all this stuff that's happening to people. I just told you how. You're going to have to spiritually rise up and say yes to this. And I've been doing this for over 30 years. And when there's a tough thing going on around you, you just stay in God. He's your vehicle, baby. Okay. Yeah, all the 70s people just went, yeah, I know what you're saying. Stay in Him. Flow in Him. Be in Him. He will lift you up and carry you over the threshold. It's His job. The groom always carries the bride over the threshold. Let Him do it. Hebrews 3 and 4 always tells us, I mean, it's written right there to look at every day of your life, that they couldn't go over because they didn't believe. Do not harden your heart. Believe God, and He will take care of you through this time. I believe the plague is leaving the earth. I hope you'll join me. Enough wonderful people have suffered. People have left the earth too early. And I say no more. And I say that now that we've crossed over this threshold, that we're going to continue to make that confession, no more. And we're all going to live in Psalm 91, of course, but we need to pray that for the world. It's time for the plague to be gone. Well, I just don't know how it can. Well, I'm telling you today how. Believe the Word of God. You don't have to believe me. Believe the Word of God. Now, just here before we close on this, there's kind of like an elephant in the room on these particular scriptures, because I know those of you who think a little deeper and you're thinking, Shemitah year, threshold, going to a new place, bridegroom carrying over, somebody saying rapture, right? Well, I have to tell you the truth. We will rapture in a Shemitah year. But it's at the end of the Shemitah year because it's the Day of Atonement. So if you're thinking we're going to rapture here in the next 3 or 4 days, we're not. But we could rapture this time next year. We could. Now look, I'm not pulling a date because the Bible says no man knows. And Jesus doesn't even know. Why doesn't Jesus know? He'd tell us. He'd go, Larry, I'm coming back on Thursday. He can't help himself. He tells us everything. So Father keeps it from him, and Father will tell. But here's what I'm telling you. It could be 2022, or it could be 28. Is that right? Yes. It could go. It would be the next 7 years. This thing may go on for another 100 years. I don't know. Sure doesn't look like it to me. But what I'm telling you is this would be the season. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, Lord, for this year. So, you know, just prophetically now, if you can just see this, and you know, this may be new to you, the way I'm bringing this across, but you just have to take it prophetically. This is how you read the signs of the times. You look at what the Bible says, and you look at the moeds, and you let the Bible interpret that. So I'm not crazy. I'm not going 422. You know, I'm not doing that. I'm basing this on how things flow scripturally. Okay? Amen. I look like the monster on Young Frankenstein. Praise the Lord. Okay, so the great harvest then, and I don't believe it's a year. I believe it's longer, myself personally. I would love it if it was next year because that'd be great too for me personally, but I think about this world. People need to come into the kingdom. And so that means we have about 7 years to gather the crops. Okay? All right. So y'all received this today? So I'm telling you, you've sown seed and now everybody's coming up and sowing seed into this word. You are set. The bridegroom is carrying you across the threshold. And you are in a new place spiritually right now. And in that new place, the harvest will also be, will come into the natural. That's what the supernatural's for, to make the natural change. Amen. I know I'm talking baby talk right now, but somebody might need to understand that. This will be a time when if you put your faith on it, your debts will be canceled. Don't tell me it can't be done. It's already happened to me. This will be a time when you come into divine health. Don't tell me that can't happen. This could be a time when your whole life could change. It could get more better. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is just a time to press into intimacy with Jesus. Get our heart in good shape so that we can receive, so we can hear his voice, so we can know what's going on. Because, church, God is good. God is good, and he's not going to leave you outside the wall. He's good. He's good, and he wants to be the bridegroom. He wants to say, come on over into this new year. I'm going to take care of everybody. You're marked. Now, ushers, would you please get ready for communion? We're going to have communion today. Those of you listening from home, if you want to get some communion elements, we're going to partake together. And I want to remind you of some things as we're getting ready, so stay tuned with me now. Genesis 47:27, and Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt in the country of Goshen. And they had possessions therein and grew, multiplied exceedingly. When Joseph, am I on? Yeah. When Joseph was over in Egypt, and remember, he had stored up enough to take care of famine. He saved the world. But when they asked for the land, remember what they did was they took Goshen because it was really, really fertile there. And they put all their cattle out there. And so Israel, they all did well in Goshen. And they continued to do well for that 400 years until they got so big that Pharaoh couldn't take it anymore. So he made them slaves, okay? However, when the plagues came, when it got dark, the lights were still on. It did not hail in Goshen. The plague did not come to Goshen. Get in Goshen. Get your mark on your door and stay in Goshen. You know, I don't mean that literally. I mean in the door of your heart. I mean you're in the blood of Jesus. Receive it by faith. Talk about it. Live in it.
Yes.
We eat these things. Yeah, think about it. Think about these things. You have to think about it. Meditate. Hey, I'm protected by God. I'm a child of God. It's not based on what I do. Hey, if you're listening and you're new to this and right now you're thinking, well, you don't know. I haven't served God. I haven't done anything. I've just been bad. I've just done whatever I wanted to. But I do love Jesus. I've been in Jesus. He'll take it.
That's right.
He'll take it. He's trying to get you in, not leave you out.
That's right.
So he'll take it. He loves you. Does he want better for you? Of course. But he loves you. And he's willing. He wants you to come in. And he wants you to begin to think about these things. Although they're all given to you, they're not automatic. You have to receive them. You have to become a receiver. Yeah, I'm going to live here. I'm going to live in Psalm 91. I'm going to live in, now I'm going to live in my harvest off of the Aliyah. I'm going to live in this Smita year. I'm going to do it. That's what I'm going to do. And so what I want us to do today is I want us to receive communion, because the blood and the body of Jesus is paying for this next year. He already paid for it, and we're going to receive it again. If you guys will pass it out. Thank you, Jesus. I'll read some scriptures while they're passing. Verse 22 says, I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there. To the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. This is 26. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hell. So there, it was different in the land of Goshen. I need to get one of those too, Butch. Thank you. Praise the Lord. So you're different. Favor ain't fair. But you're the one who decided to receive it. It's yours. We're just not religious folks around here. In the wrong way. If you know what religion really is. We're not trying to follow a bunch of rules to get God to love us. We have received Jesus. And he has taken care of everything. And then we honor him by keeping our character. And listen, if you keep your character, he'll keep your reputation. Praise the Lord. But the first step is just receiving. Amen. Praise the Lord. Did y'all receive this today? You understand the prophetic meaning to all this. This is your time. This is where we are. We're in a moed. It can go well with you. People participate in the, you're blessed. People participate in the curse because they choose to. Because all those things written in Deuteronomy, you know, it talks all about all the blessing. Then it talks about all the curse. You should write when it starts the curse part. You should write right above where it starts. When he starts telling about the curse, you should write, I am redeemed from this. And you can write out there, Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon me. You're redeemed. You're redeemed from the plague. You're redeemed from the tyrant government. You're redeemed from the illegal laws that are trying to be made. You are redeemed from that. You're redeemed from trouble. You're redeemed from debt. You're redeemed from sickness. If you'll take it. A lot of people don't. A lot of churches still teaching that God puts sickness on people. It's a lie of the enemy. They just use it because they don't want to admit that sometimes we fail at the game of life and don't get into faith. That's all it is. We've all failed at the game of life. We've all lost sometimes. But the truth is that God is the healer.
Yes, he is.
And he's still healing today. Yes. He's still making things right today. And he'll still protect you today. And he'll still prosper you today.
That's right.
Amen.